The Blue Jays end their early season road trip with a two-game split against the Baltimore Orioles. Let's get into it. Good afternoon, everybody. It is Monday, April 14th, and welcome to episode 246 of Buds and Blue Jays. It's your place for all things related to the Toronto Blue Jays. Today on the show, Jesse Burrell joined by Jesse Tricio, and it was just two games against the division rivals Baltimore Orioles, but there was a lot of aspects coming from this series, and you can bet we're going to get into all of it, from Jeff Hoffman, Tony Taters, George Springer, you name it. We will touch on it in this episode, but first, Jesse, what's up, my man? How are you today? How are you feeling after this big, long road trip?
Oh, I'm glad we came away with a four and two difference in divisional opponents. Yeah, we lost that Mets series, but I'd rather take the ones in the division, and we took care of that.
Yeah, our goal coming out of that road trip, I think we said before the Mets series, was if we can just go 500, because we are 5-2 starting the road trip, then with the Mets, the Red Sox, and the Orioles, if we can go 5-5 during that time, we're happy. Because of the rain out, we didn't quite play the full 10 games, but 4-5 isn't as good, but I think you and I are both pretty satisfied with the results here.
Oh, definitely, especially when the Sens were still first in the division.
That's ultimately what matters, and let's get into just that of where our Blue Jays stand after this long road trip. 16 games into the season, we have a record of 9-7, and we're still half a game up on those dreaded New York Yankees. Our playoff odds have remained kind of steady, sitting at about 45.8%. The scores of the games in this series: game one, we are rained out. Doubleheader will be rescheduled for some point in July. Game two, one-run defeat. Baltimore wins this game 5-4 as Bo Bichette just couldn't get that hit with a guy on base. But in game three, he was able to do it, getting the tying run across in the eighth, and the Blue Jays were able to win this game 7-6 in 10 innings, thanks to some excellence from our closer, Jeff Hoffman. Jesse, a lot of storylines coming out of this series, and there's a bunch of stuff we got to get to. But I'll turn it to you first. Who is your player of the series?
I'm going to give it a kiss to start off. And it's Jeff Hoffman. Like, what can I say? Hoff to the races. Jeff kiss. Hoff we go. The Hoffmeister. Like, this guy literally is the best closer. Like, I put a tweet and people say, my thing is Hunter Virgil. First closer I could trust since Billy Koch. Like, we've had a bunch. Yes. We've had, like, Casey Jansen, Romano, the one that shall not be named, and a bunch of others. But I literally have not had any faith in a closer since Billy Koch, or even going back to like Mike Timlin and Tomlin and all that. Yeah. Back in the 92-93, like, this is like what a closer is supposed to be.
Blue Jays fans forget just how dominant Ken Giles was in his time here, but I think that's because there was some bad Toronto Blue Jays team. But I understand the sentiment, Jesse. Like, Romano, for example, you always felt like, yeah, he got the job done, but he always made it an adventure, right? With Jeff Hoffman coming into this game in this series with that run lead, it felt like the Orioles never stood a freaking chance. How they even got a hit off him is beyond me. But since joining the Toronto Blue Jays, Jesse, 9 1/3 innings pitched, just one earned run allowed, 5 hits, only 1 walk, and 13 strikeouts for Jeff Hoffman. He's on your short list of best closers in baseball, and he almost single-handedly, not quite because the Blue Jays did hit a bunch too, but almost single-handedly won the Blue Jays this game against Baltimore. 2 thumbs up from both of us.
Oh, definitely. And like, even going back to the series, what he did against the Red Sox, and like, he's just, this is why we paid him the money, and how I love seeing it. Like, we've got him, and or let's try to get Andrew Kittredge. Where is he? Hurt.
Yeah, he's hurt. He's hurt. He's done. And it's so funny because they turned down Jeff Hoffman because of the bum shoulder. And tough luck for you Orioles fans, but hey, it's all good and gravy for us. Jesse, fun thing before we move off on Hoffman. The Orioles were one team this offseason who flagged his medicals, who thought, no, we don't want to be part of the Jeff Hoffman business. The other team that did just that is the Atlanta Braves. We welcome him to Rogers Center tonight. So he might not pitch today because he pitched 2 innings yesterday, but I guarantee you there will be more Jeff Hoffman drama coming into this series here. That is the absolute correct answer for player of the series. I will throw out some love and some honorable mention. And honestly, I want to give it to Ernie Clement, who only came into one game in this series, but boy, he had a good game against the lefty when he really did need it. 4 for 5 on the day, had a double, scored 2 runs. I thought his third base defense, which we'll touch on later in this episode, was actually quite good. And not a big nomination for player of the series here, but I wanted to throw some love to the Earn Dog quite early in this episode. Do you have a thought on that, Jesse?
Oh, no, definitely. It's like crazy to think. He was, I believe, 4 for 5 yesterday.
Yeah,
that's more hits than he had all year going into the game.
Right. I think I saw the Sportsnet or his batting line when he came up to the plate for the first time yesterday, and I think it saw the 0.80 batting average, and I was like, oh, buddy, Ernie, it's we got to get you going. But as we've mentioned, he hasn't played a ton. Like, him and Will Wagner have kind of been in that platoon, and the Blue Jays have just faced a ton of right-handed pitching. So it was good that they were able to face Cade Povich, a lefty, yesterday. Ernie Clement came in there and did his job, which we'll talk about another righty on the team who's supposed to hit lefties that kind of did their job this series as well. But it was very good to see from Ernie Clement. All right. A lot of good stuff from the two players of the series. Jesse, before we dive a little bit deeper, I have some overarching storylines that have kind of been happening throughout the course of the season, but I want to get your take on a few of them here. And the first one, Jesse, is a conversation you and I have had before, but let's rehash this again. Game one of this series, a game the Blue Jays ultimately lost by 1 run. We hit into 5 double plays in that series. And I looked it up. Coming into the game yesterday, the Blue Jays had grounded into the 5th most double plays in all of baseball. And in fact, the 5 double plays we hit into in that game is tied for the most that any team across baseball has hit into in one game all season. Jesse, is this a problem for our Toronto Blue Jays with how many double plays we're hitting into?
Yes, because we're not. If you look at our team, we shouldn't be. Again, it's still early. We're not even out of the first month and a bit of a season. So, like, give it some time. But it definitely raises some concerns, especially seeing certain players down in the minors who could be in this lineup that will probably want to be hitting into these double plays. And I'll name some of them maybe later.
Yeah. So my thought about this is that the Blue Jays have kind of built their offense because they're not getting the home run power that they need. So they're really building their offense by singles and hard hit ground balls and trying to get balls through. But you know what? Sometimes those hard hit ground balls are right at guys. And those are your true tailor-made double plays. The Blue Jays are trying to score runs. And I will say, we scored, 13 runs in the 2 games this series. So far, it is working, so I will give them credit. But it's also like they're trying to string a bunch of singles together, string a bunch of hits. And what will happen is 2 guys will get hits. That third guy will hit a rocket, but right at the third baseman, and now you've hit into a double play, and now you score no runs in that inning. And now it feels even more deflating. Like, this is why you kind of need that hit in the air, that pull side power that we were kind of hoping we can see a little bit more as the season goes on, because it can avoid these double plays. And even if it is still an out, a deep fly ball out, 1, you have a chance to move the runners over, and 2, it's not going to be that instant rally killer that can give the other team some momentum. I'm pretty sure we saw the Orioles put up a few crooked numbers after they turned some double plays to get out of innings in game 1 of this series. So it is something I would like to see a little bit better going forward.
Oh, definitely. And yes, the deep fly balls could move the runners unless you leave early from the base, but...
Yeah, so I wanted to touch about that too. So the we're talking about the steep fly ball from Anthony Santander in game 1, and Vlad was considered out leaving first base. I saw some camera footage, Jesse. I don't know. I think he left on time. It was so close. It was bang, bang. The fact that
he
didn't challenge it kind of left a sour taste, but I don't know. I want to give Vlad credit. I thought it was heads up.
Oh, no. I definitely, I give him credit, but, obviously, has Schneider came out saying that there wasn't enough good footage, it'd be too hard to tell, which is fair. But the thing I didn't like about it, it wasn't even a player involved. It's an umpire yet again. Why was it when they appealed, and why was it the home plate umpire making that call? Mm-hmm. You're the furthest away and you automatically call them out? Ask someone. That's what I didn't like about it.
Mm-hmm. And that's been our biggest gripe with umpires, all season, all half decade. It's just because it's, don't be afraid to ask for help. You know, I understand you all have egos and stuff, and it's very important. You're supposed to be at the highest level, but that's why you have a team. That's why there's four of you. If you aren't sure, get it together. In hockey, they do this all the time. They talk to the other refs to try to get the call right. And at the end of the day, just get the damn call right. You know, we didn't come here to see you, Mr. Umpire, as we saw in the Red Sox series, which cost us the game there. We just want to see them get the call right. And I think we're going to see more of that going forward.
And this is another reason why, like, going back to the Red Sox series, why a lot of people are talking about the ABS will fix it, because look what happened to Jason Nass series.
That's true. It's very true. All right, so let's pay attention to that going forward, and I hope for some less double play balls in this series against Atlanta. But another overarching burning question I've had, Jesse, is we could actually start talking a little bit about the Blue Jays defense. And for the first time, I don't think I'm saying this in a positive light, because the Blue Jays did make a bunch of errors. Remember at the end of the Boston series, the one game that we did end was like on an Andrés Giménez kind of bobble. And the game end. And then we get into Baltimore here. Vlad is dropping some balls at first base that he normally does catch. That was rough to see. We had a few. I know in game two, Anthony Santander, not known for his defense, I will give him credit, but took quite a bad route to a ball that had an 86% catch probability that ended up falling. Gunnar Henderson runs around the bases for a triple. There were a few others. Will Wagner had a couple shady throws from third base. There were a few others there. Which all led to some run scorings for the Baltimore Orioles and put the Blue Jays in a tough spot. Jesse, I know this team is built on defense, so it's a tough question to ask, but on a scale of 1 to 10, how concerned are you about what you saw from the defense in this series?
I'm actually quite high with my concern meter, because if we're not scoring runs, yes, we scored like 13 runs this series, but if we're not stringing like big double digits or big leads, every play is crucial.
Right.
Yes, Anthony Santander is there for his bat and like can play off him. I don't like it. I'd rather him be our DH firmly and not see him out there. I'd rather have someone like Miles Straw with Varsho and Alan Rowan or Springer or whoever out there in our defense. At least I know we can have the ground covered, and they all are veterans. Even Ronan, like, he's young, he can do the job. We need a real third baseman. I'm sorry, Erndog. I'm sorry, Will Wagner. But imagine this deep infield if it has still Chapman there. Just if we have a proper third base, like, I hate saying the word proper, but if we had a third baseman, of that Chapman level to, like, I'll use Arenado, like, but he's a little older now, but, like, or even Alec Boehm, stuff like that. Brian Hayes. That would sure up so much for our team.
So I do want to say the numbers still love Ernie Clement at third base. Like, his defensive run value is by far the most in the Blue Jays. A defensive run save is tied for most in by far fewer less innings. But he hasn't been playing a ton. So we've been seeing a lot more Will Wagner at third base. And look, he's made some good plays here or there, but there has been a few that have really been noticeable. There was a couple throws that have been tough for him. There was one, two, where he got a hard hit ground ball. He kind of stuttered getting the throw to second base, which ultimately led to the runner on the back end being safe, which led to a few more runs for Baltimore too. It's just these little things we're not quite seeing from Will Wagner that I want to see more of. I think if Ernie plays more, it will be better. But also too, like Vlad on these stretches, Vlad has been kind of known for a flair for the dramatic at first base. There was one hit, hard hit to Bo, who, by the way, has played excellent shortstop defense this year, made a very quick stab, threw it to first. A play that hit Vlad, it was a bit low, yes, but it hit him on the heel of the glove. Like, a play he's got to make, and the fact that that came down and fell out, Baltimore has ties the game right after that. That's tough, Vladdy. I understand you're athletic, and I understand you can make some of these stretches, but your footwork's got to be there. You got to make these plays. And I didn't love that from Vladimir Guerrero Jr. And ultimately it cost the team in this series.
It's all about the fundamentals.
That's right. That is right. Hopefully you see that getting a little better going forward. And when Varsho comes back too, it will stabilize this. Jesse, my last kind of burning question for this series is, what'd you think about the pajama game? The all baby blues for the Toronto Blue Jays and the all sharp oranges for Baltimore. I thought that was kind of neat.
I call it the Dumb and Dumber game, because if people understand, to get the reference, you know what I mean by that. I loved it. It reminded me of like the NFL color rush. I thought it was pretty slick. And like, when I saw it, I was like, I can dig teams doing stuff like this.
Yeah. I don't love the, I'm not a jersey guy necessarily. I know there are people out there who are more into jerseys than I am. Didn't love the baby blue, but I did thought paired with the Oriole orange and the baby blue, I thought made for quite a visual experience. So I was a fan of that. All right, Jesse, let's dive a little bit deeper into the players on the series. And we did have two firsts for the Toronto Blue Jays. Two players in this series hit their first home runs of the season. More uneventful one, Alejandro Kirk, very good to see. I thought he had been playing a little bit better coming out of that Boston series. Drew his first two walks of the series. Also took a nice Cade Povich curveball in the second inning for his first home run. And Jesse, Tony Taters, he did it. I think it was our big prediction leaving the Red Sox series. We thought Santander was coming close. We knew that it was going to happen in this series. And sure enough, it took his second at bat. After a massive standing ovation from Orioles fans, he hit a massive home run out onto Utah Street there. Start with those two players, Jesse. Home runs from Anthony Santander and Alejandro Kirk. What'd you like?
It's definitely good to see Kirk pulling the ball in the air, which he needs to do. But Tony Taters, I think I was the one that called that too.
Well, everybody knew it was going
to
happen.
Oh, it was given, but like, it was so nice to see. I was just like, literally when I saw him hit that homer, I had the biggest sigh of relief. I was like, holy God. Mm-hmm. Now let's go.
Yeah, that's the thing. Now the hard work starts, right? Getting that monkey off your back, getting that first one is absolutely great. It kind of felt really good that he did that in Baltimore there, where a 92-mile-per-hour fastball up in the zone, and he knew it off the bat. Absolutely pimp job. Like, Adley Rutschman pimped the shit out of his home run that he hit earlier in this series, but I like Santander's the most. It was absolutely fantastic. Jesse, true or false? Definitely. Santander's hitting another one this series against the Braves.
I think he's going on a hot streak now for like homers.
I like that. So you said that. It'll come in bunches. He looks like he's close. I am with you on that one. Jesse, a lot of other notable hitting performances here, and I've got a few I want to touch on, but was there another player from the offensive side that you wanted to talk a little bit about this series?
No, I definitely was impressed by Bo again. He's really showing that last year was just a one-off, and like he is really back to himself. And there was something that I saw with Hazel May tweet, like she just tweeted like eye emojis, and I really think it's something about that, but obviously there's no smoke yet, but I think that it could be something in the works, like, because realistically you lost, like, ever since Vi sign, which we're eventually, his press conference will be on
in like 20 minutes. It'll be right after our show. Tune into that
after this. He literally, like, everyone is screaming they need to sign Bo, and even he made comments right after it too. It's like, I feel like this could be coming pretty soon.
Yeah, it's ever since Vlad signed that big deal, it does seem more likely that one with Bo is going to get done. And let's not forget too, Bo has said, not as publicly as Vladdy, but he has said he wants to be here long term. He has kind of read his things. His goal was always to win a World Series with Vlad. And I will say, Jesse, the Bo we're seeing on the field right now, the improved defense, 5-for-11 in this series, hit another double, had that clutch two-out RBI in the eighth in this series on an 0-2 count, too. Very good to see. I'm convinced Bo Bichette's back. Oh, by the way, too, I think Sportsnet broadcast mentioned this. He has 4 3-hit games on the season, which is the most in baseball already. He's back, is basically what I'm getting at.
Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely. And, like, even though there was one that, like, saying about L's, like, he was saying he has more L's out of 100 and or 94 miles plus off the bat than anyone right now. So, like, he's even hitting the ball. His L's are hard.
Yeah, which, that's huge. That is absolutely huge, what you wanted to see coming out of last season for Bo Bichette. Some other notable offensive performances, Jesse. Alan Rodon, just a quiet 2 hits, 2-for-5 in the series, but it was good. Davis Schneider got off the schneid a little bit, finally got some hits here. As you roll your eyes, I know we don't love seeing from Davis Schneider there, but I will give credit for credits due. Vlad had what felt like a quiet 4-for-9 in the series, but multi-hits in both games. And Andrés Giménez, 3-for-9 in the series, all singles. No, I'm pretty sure he got a double in there, blooped one down the line. So I didn't take away much from either of those four players. Did anything catch your attention?
I'm still shocked because David Schneider's still here. That's all I can say.
It won't be much longer, I'm sure. If the Blue, it's either going to be him or Nathan Lucas who's on the chopping block when like Varsho's ready or when reinforcements arrive. So, which shouldn't be too much longer here. I did want to touch a little bit, Jesse, about George Springer, who 0-for-7 in this series. We're actually starting to see the hot streak kind of cool down a little bit. And we have to talk about what happened with his swing in the game here, where he took a real big swing, looked like he hurt his wrist. The trainer and John Schneider both came out. And you can even see George, and this was a big point in the game, might I add, too. I think there were two runners on base. The Blue Jays were down. Like, they really needed a hit here from their cleanup hitter. And George Springer said, no, I'm fine. Like, I'm good to keep going. And you want to trust your players. But as you see him take that second swing and is in clear pain, and if you're going to take him out of the game anyway, you can't let George Springer finish that at bat. I was actually quite rattled and upset by this watching George Springer. Because, of course, 98 mile per hour fastball blows it by him with the wrist. You're never going to catch up to that. Like, it was obvious and clear as day. Why do you think John Schneider didn't take him out of the game? And would you have done that, Jesse, if you were manager here?
Oh, 100% I would take him out. And clearly, once the Orioles are still in, they're just going to do the same thing because they know he can't catch up. And I feel like Schneider did because he has no cojones.
Mm-hmm. Like,
you have to. I don't care if you're a World Series MVP, blah, 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 key part of the seat. If you're hurt, you're doing more harm. You have other people who can do what you're doing, play your position, or even if you're DHing, be your DH. You should, you should have taken him out the moment he went down the first time, and you could literally see him barely able to squeeze the trainer's hand.
Right. And so, okay, so even if that's the case, even if he comes out there and Jose Ministrov does his little test and you say, okay, yeah, this is fine, he's good to go, as soon as you see it the second time, the amount of pain he was in, you have to take him out too. If you're putting Will Wagner in to replace him anyway, and correct me if I'm wrong, Jesse, but I'm pretty sure there was a righty on the mound anyway, right? So Will Wagner would have the platoon advantage, probably more of a contact guy than George Springer at this point anyway. Like, it seems really dumb. And I think you're right. It comes down to, doesn't want to disrespect the player. George Springer's been good so far this season, even though he was 0-for-7 in his last seven coming up for that. I don't know, man. It's little things like this that John Schneider said he wanted to be better at early in the season. He has not been better at so far this year. And thank God the Blue Jays came back and won that game, because if they didn't, we would be talking a lot more about this.
I would say even more choice words.
That's right. All right. Got that off our back now. So that's it from the offensive side on the players of the series here. Jesse, let's talk starting pitching. And there were two performances, and this might be the first series of the season so far where the Toronto Blue Jays didn't get their excellent starting pitching. But Bowden Francis and Jose Berríos both pitched. Jesse, you take one, I'll take the other. Which of the two performances do you want to touch on first?
I'll take Jose Berríos. Second time against the Orioles, that definitely was better than the opening day that we haven't witnessed.
Yes, it was.
He definitely, they were saying his velocity was down because of the weather. Like, this time of year, there's a lot of issues when it comes to playing in the cold where your velocity
goes down. It was like a 10 degrees Celsius there. It was warmer in Baltimore than both New York and Boston. So, but okay.
Yeah, that's true. It was definitely warmer there, but still compared to when you're used to playing with 15 to 20 or 20 degree weather, when you're in spring and in the later parts of the season where you can grip the ball better with the winds and all that. His off-speed pitches actually looked pretty good, in my opinion, from what I saw. He was getting the strikeouts, a couple errors cost him some runs. I thought Berríos looked good, and I like the bounce back he had compared to what he did on opening day against the same Orioles.
Yeah, so it'll go down as the second worst start of the season. Both now have come against Baltimore. It could be just be a thing. Maybe Baltimore has something on Jose Berríos. I will say, look, the Ryan Mountcastle home run, you can just chalk that up every series the Blue Jays play against the Orioles that Ryan Mountcastle is going to hit a home run. But it was a slurve low in the zone, probably a good 6 inches low in the zone, and he still got barreled to it. It makes me think they kind of knew what was coming from Jose Berríos. And I will say too, Jesse, this was a big thing last year with Jose Berríos' starts, that even the times when he didn't look so good, the Blue Jays still found a way to win those games. And take away opening day where the Blue Jays lost, we have now won every other Jose Berríos start. 3-1 in this four games he started this series. So even though the season numbers, 5.16 ERA with a FIP that's even worse than that, don't look good, the Blue Jays are still finding ways to win these games.
A win's a win.
I will have to give them credit for that. Bowden Francis, on the other hand, the overall line is going to look tough. It's going to look like 5 2/3, 4 hits, 5 earned runs, 2 walks, 5 Ks. You talk about the defense struggling for Jose Berríos. It happened with Bowden Francis here as well. I missed actually the first 3 to 4 innings of this game because I was out on my bike. But when I came back, I had saw a message from you that said, yeah, Bowden Francis, 9 up, 9 down. He looks dealing. Turns out the record was 13 up, 13 down before allowing a hit and then giving up a home run. Allowing a base runner, then giving up a home run. And the home run issue kind of seems to be a bit of the problem for Bowden Francis. And they've been happening late in games where he'll be cruising on a roll and then just misses his location just a bit. Or maybe the stuff kind of fatigues on him just a little bit and he's given up a home run. In this game, the home runs weren't solo home runs. They were multi-run home runs, which because of the errors behind him, which ultimately led to the bad start. But I think it's going to be more of the same. If the home runs he gives up are of the solo variety, then the Blue Jays are going to have a real good shot of winning these games. And if there are guys on base because of either walks or bad defense, the Blue Jays are going to lose those games. It's plain and simple. And that's what happened here. So I think, though, Bowden did pitch better than the line indicated.
Oh, definitely. Like, literally, it really should not say 5 earned runs for him. It should be made like 2 to 3, depending on like how you put it. But no, he looked great, like, was typical stuff, and, like, literally, they were even saying in the broadcast, it's funny how he'll, every first hit he gives up has been a home run lately.
Yeah, and that's really what it feels like. I'd love to do some research, and maybe I will for my next article. I'll dive into the home runs that Bowden Francis has been giving up, but it doesn't seem like anyone's able to string 2-3 hits together against Bowden Francis, that he's always, it's either home runs or nothing against him, which, is quite interesting. It's Marco Estrada-esque for me from Bowden Francis, and Marco
had great seasons
with the Toronto Blue Jays. So that is very good. All right, Jesse, the bullpen. We've talked about Jeff Hoffman, who is very clearly the star of our bullpen here. But was there anything else from this pen that caught your attention here? Yeah, I'll let you go first before I give mine.
Firstly, Josh Hader, don't give me a heart attack ever again and playing Jacob Barnes up for extra innings like that. So okay, you can stop that.
Can we talk about that for a minute? When the game was close late and we see Jacob freaking Barnes warming up in the bullpen, I was like, are we trying? I understand he hasn't pitched in a while, but it's like, holy crap, buddy. I had a heart attack too watching that. Thank God
I think
Hoffman come in for the second inning, but man.
I thought I was going to shit myself. Like, at work when I saw that, I was like, oh God. And good thing I make diapers out of my work, but like, still, that would have been terrifying. Mm-hmm. But thank God he didn't have to come in. But no, Jimmy Garcia, Jimmy Hears, what can I say more? Guy's a stud. Like,
absolutely.
Like, he helped save that, like, coughing up the win and say the win and all that. But, like, without Jimmy, I wouldn't even give us 8th inning save for Jimmy Garcia to save us from losing that game.
Yeah, when we needed to, because the Blue Jays in that game we won, we came back. We were down by 3 late in the game. You only do that if you get stud performances out of your bullpen. Jimmy Garcia, 3 batters faced, struck out 2 of them, got the 3rd guy out relatively easy too. And it looked clean and easy for Jimmy Garcia. Guy is good. Like, Jimmy Garcia is just plain good, plain and simple.
Jimmy Heaters. And thanks for Class A too, Mariners.
Yes, yes, exactly. Which we'll get to in our prospects notes a little later in this episode. But, absolutely fantastic, Jimmy Garcia. He's probably on the short list of pure just best middle relievers in all of baseball that nobody's talking about is Jimmy Garcia. And that is phenomenal from him.
Oh, it definitely is. Like, just having that 1-2 punch of him and Hoffman is just so nice.
Mm-hmm. I do want to throw some love out here to Mason Fluharty, who did get into both games in this series. His overall line, 2 innings pitched. He did walk 1, struck out 2, but didn't give up a hit. I will say, now that he looks like he's getting kind of settled in a little bit, he's being part of that bullpen, he's being part of that routine, Mason Fluharty does look a little bit more comfortable, I suppose, in the on the pitcher's mound. So it'll be good to see him going forward. I want to throw him some love. And okay, so Nick Sandlin, I wanted to touch in a little bit on him too, because the last time we saw him in the Boston series, he had hit two guys, ultimately came up and gave up the run. The defense was quite bad behind Nick Sandlin here as well in this series. He did give up a double, but ultimately was able to get the job done. I thought, too, his ERA is going to be a little bit spiked after this. But honestly, I'm starting to warm up now to Nick Sandlin. I think he's going to pitch a lot. I actually think he might be quite better than maybe we thought he was. So shout out to him. And then the other guys. Chad Green faced three batters, gave him a hit, got out of it. Yario Rodriguez faced two batters, no damage. Brandon Little came in, faced two batters, no damage. So anything else on the rest of those guys in the pen?
No, definitely. And again, like Nick Sandlin, I definitely feel like he's going to be that I'll say Adam Simber as a couple of years ago, where like he pitched in like 80 games and like does his job and like just that one, like just that leverage right before we get to our big dogs in the back end.
FanGraphs just had a nice article about Nick Sandlin. Well, it was about a lot of stuff, but Nick Sandlin was in there. And because he comes from that weird low arm slot, which makes his slider move really good. But normally from that arm slot, you see the sinker slider type pitcher that we've seen a lot in the past. Because he can throw that four-seamer, I think the batters think it's going to sink, and it never does. And that's how you can miss barrels. So as long as he's controlling the pitches, I think Nick Sandlin's going to be quite good there as well. We're running short on time here, as I got to get to the Dome tonight to go to the game here. So we're going to jump right to our prospect series and cut this episode a little short. But Jesse, down on the farm, I know you're the prospect guy. I know you've been paying attention to what's been happening down there. But I have a few notes here. Addison Barger, your boy, my boy, we're Barger boys. Two more home runs over the course of this weekend. Now has five hits, 110 miles per hour or harder. I think his 115 mile per hour hit is still the hardest hit ball in all of AAA so far this year. Could be wrong on that. Don't quote me, but I'm pretty sure that is the case. So he's been absolutely fantastic. Jonathan Class A, not only has been off to a rocket start down in the minor leagues, he also robbed a home run in the outfield, which was great to see. And Arjun Namala, top prospect, second home run, OPS over 1,000 so far for the High A Vancouver Canadians. Do you have a thought on any of those?
Oh, well, if people would follow me on Twitter, they know I'm all the clips of them. I've been mentioning all three of them. Barger, you should be here over Schneider. No question there. Like, you can fill in at third and play probably better outfield than him and at least hit the ball. Class A, I want you up here so badly because I know how terrorizing you would be on the base path and how smooth and silky smooth you'd be in the outfield, but we have such a cluster of that type of like center fielders who can play good defense and swipe some bags. So like it could be a little while until we see you up here. And Namala, kid's so young. He's in High A. Like, he won't be in the show on the big club anytime soon. But I can really see him. If he keeps hanging like this, he'll get that promotion in no time to New Hampshire and possibly even finish the year in Buffalo. I can really see that happening.
Yeah, because if he goes in and just shoves in Vancouver, which he has done so far this season, then maybe he spends the bulk of the season at New Hampshire. But if he just rakes there too, you're right. He might get a cup of coffee with the Bisons. Then maybe next season he starts with the Bisons. And then, I don't know, you're looking at a 21-year-old who might be impacting the Toronto Blue Jays. It wouldn't be unheard of, but you just want to see him keep pitching well. And down on the farm, Jesse, Treya Savage made his second start with the Blue Jays organization. This one, a lot better. Four innings pitch, gave up one run. It came off a triple and then a sac fly. So not too much there. Three hits, zero walks, which is good to see to go along with four strikeouts and getting the win for the Dunedin Blue Jays. Good to see from Treya Savage. We absolutely wanted to see him step forward because you and I both thought he should start in Double A anyway. And good to see him back into carving up High A ball hitters.
Oh, definitely. It's nice to hear that and see those numbers too, because realistically, I really chalked that first start up being just overamped and adrenaline because that was his first pro start. He wants to make an impact and show them why they drafted him where they did and prove all the other teams wrong. I'm just happy he settled down and figured it out for his next start and looks like the guy we drafted out of East Carolina.
All right, that's all I got for the prospect notes. If you have any prospects listening at home that you want to touch on, let us know, and we will get into that. But Jesse, big series back at home now for the Toronto Blue Jays as we welcome in the Atlanta Braves for 4-11 Atlanta Braves, might I add. I don't think any of us saw that coming. I think our goal going into this series is we know they're starting to get healthy. We will see Spencer Strider for Atlanta in this series making his season debut. So that's a tough break for our Toronto Blue Jays. But just don't let them get hot in your building. Let them stay cool. Let them heat up when they get out of Rogers Center. But that should be the main goal for the Blue Jays. What do you think about this series? Do you have a prediction, player to click, et cetera, et cetera?
I really feel like my player to click will probably be Vladdy, because like first series back after his payday, just feels like he's staying for the moment right there. But if it isn't him, I really feel like we're going to really see Ernie Clement turn to back to the guy we saw last year. We're stringing those hits and playing solid defense. I definitely think I don't want to use my typical call of saying how sleep it is, but I feel like we can take 2 of 3 and possibly sleep it. But knowing that that you got Schlemark and Strider back to back, that's going to be a tough two games right there. But I feel like we can take 2 of 3.
And then Seattle after that has Logan Gilbert and Luis Castillo. So we've got some tough pitching at the Dome this homestand, which means we need to tee off on Grant Holmes tonight. There needs to be no excuse here. Easton Lucas needs to continue his domination, and we need to put balls to the wall against Grant Holmes, start the series on the right foot, get out to a lead early, and step on the throats. So the Blue Jays kind of need a laugher. Like, we need to win this game 8-1 or something like that. And look, Grant Holmes has struggled so far this season. The Blue Jays lit him up when they saw him in spring training, if you'll remember correctly. So very important for the Blue Jays to get up on him. And Vladimir Guerrero Jr. hitting his first home run, I'd almost say tonight, has got to be the lock of the century, right? We said Santander in the Orioles series. Vlad's getting it in front of the home crowd tonight after his press conference later today.
Especially probably the ovation he's about to get too tonight.
And I will be one of them. After we're done this, I'm hanging up, I'm hitting the road and driving to Toronto to get down there. So I'm going to go do just that. Jesse, was there anything else you wanted to throw in at the end of this episode here?
Nope. Just want to say I'll give this episode a kiss goodbye and have a great day.
Couldn't have said it better myself, my guy. For Jesse Tirisio, I'm Jesse Burrell. Thank you all for listening. We will be back to recap the upcoming series against the Atlanta Braves. Until then, let's hope we get a win, and let's go Blue Jays.
Thanks, guys.